I was born in Henderson, North Carolina, so I didn't have a big choice of music. I listened to gospel, and as well I listened to country and western, because that's basically the only music that was there, as well as I used to sing in gospel in church, in Baptist church there. I think that gospel was a big part of all blacks' background, really, because we basically started from singing gospel, then it went over into blues and all the other bits and pieces. But gospel was the background for mostly all of us. I know for myself, it was years before I thought of any other songs to sing other than gospel. I think that soul music is basically a music that, it comes from total feeling. It's not something that you read. I know over the years, I never learned how to read music. And in the past maybe 15 years or so, I've learned now to read music, even vocal sheets. And I find that when I'm reading vocal sheets, I don't feel what I'm doing as much as I feel it when I just close my eyes and go for it. So soul music to me has always been a music that, in spite of the mistakes that you make along the way, it's still a gut feeling that you're pouring out in your recordings especially. I used to do a lot of writing, which I still do, and most of my writing during the early days came from the fact that I was singing gospel. So I would more or less take a gospel song and just think of it, and then put it in the I Love You lyrics, and basically it worked. And it still do the same, people still do the same thing. Now it's in reverse, unfortunately. Most gospel singers today are taking pop songs and reversing the lyrics, which is a new thing, really. That was in 1957, and I was working in my father's restaurant. And across the street from there was a guy by the name of Lover Patterson who had an apartment. And he used to come into my father's restaurant looking for a baritone singer. So for months he was coming in and out, and I was telling him I don't know of any singer. So one day he came in, and I just got up enough nerve to tell him that I could sing a bit. So he says, oh, really? He said, can you sing baritone? I said, yeah, I think so. So he put me in the group to try out to do baritone, and they came into the store, we rehearsed in the back, and before I know it, I was one of the Five Crowns. From the Five Crowns, I worked with them for about a year and a half, just doing local jobs from New York to New Jersey to Connecticut and back and things like that. We were at the Apollo Theater in about 1959, and on the bill was Ray Charles, I think, and I think Ruth Brown and the Drifters and quite a few others. During that week, the Drifters were going to break up, and their manager at that time, George Treadwell, approached our manager, Lover Patterson, and wanted to change the Five Crowns over into the Drifters. And we had never heard of such a thing, because I had never heard of a lot of things that was going on then, because I was just new in the business, especially singing pop stuff. So after we had closed that week, we had gone downtown with our manager, Lover, went into the office of George Treadwell, and they started throwing papers about, and before you know it, I was a Drifter. Basically, it was the sound of, I guess the same sound that you might have heard from the Five Satins or the Flamingos or the Clovers, close harmony things, great lyrics. It was great lyrics during those days. I loved every song that was ever sung or written during the 50s. Fast steps and things like that, you know. But basically, the sound was very close harmony. Things of those times were done in a harmony form. You wasn't thinking about strings or horns or funky beats and things. We were basically a tight-knitted group, really a group sound. The original Drifters, were from a gospel background. We're talking about Bill Pinkney, Gayhard Thrasher, of course, Clyde McFadder, Johnny Moore, and a few of the other guys. They were all from a spiritual background, so they had that same thing. So when I moved from the Henderson and got to New York, I basically joined groups later on in life that still did the gospel harmony things, you know, but only, like I say, was singing love songs, but that was the only difference, yeah. When I got into the group, I guess because each new lead brings on a new sound and writers and producers have to then adjust, so the sound of the group changed when I got involved as lead singer. But I would say that Clyde was a big influence on all of us anyway. When I was involved with the Drifters, the hits were There Goes My Baby, This Magic Moment, Save the Last Dance for Me, Dance With Me, I Counted Tears, and a few others, a few other flops. No, those were hits, really, so I shouldn't say a few other. No, we had quite a lot of hits there, yeah. We were produced by Lieber and Stoller. It was great. I think that The lovely thing about working with Lee Vinstola, as well as all the other guys from during those times, was the fact that they would work with you 100%. They'd find the material, they'd rehearse, they'd get a small room somewhere with a piano, rehearse the song through and through and through, until you know that you have the song perfect, and then we'd go and record. I left the Drifters in 1960, for various reasons, one of them being that I just got married. I had a newborn child, my first, and there wasn't enough money to go on the road, keep the uniforms clean, pay the hotel bits, and come back and have money after the tours. So I left basically because of those reasons. I think that what happened mostly with groups breaking up and lead singers going on their own is basically the same thing that happens today a lot. In a group, you can go but so far before it all seems to fall apart anyway. That's whether or not you have internal problems or it just all of a sudden lose a little bit of the spark from you to the public or you to the buying audience or whatever. But I think the thing that happens in most cases is the fact that the lead singer somehow see himself or the manager of the group see the lead singer in another direction. Of course, it's easier to take one person than to take four and five. I think it's very hard to start out today because your expectation is like this. I think most entertainers, unfortunately, enter the business today with the feeling of making money opposed to making music. So they grab the lawyer and they grab the big agents and on and on and on and on. And when it doesn't happen, of course, the letdown is much harder than it was during my day, because we go into it with music in mind. And if it doesn't happen, we still sing on the street or at a local bar or at some little small club that no one knows or things like that. Today, you think in Carnegie Hall and Madison Square Garden. You know, those are the thoughts. So of course, the letdown from those places. And of course, the agent or manager, whoever you have, they're going to do a job on you. They're going to tell you how great you are, which is that's their job. They're supposed to hype you. And if it doesn't happen, of course, then they're out of your life. And so the letdown is very bad. I think that if most of them would bear in mind that they're an artist and they have confidence in their talent, they'll make it. Because that's the key thing. You have to really think of the artist part first. Don't think of the money. Don't think of the platinum records. Leave that all aside. If it happens, great. Don't think about it because it drive you crazy then. I don't buy the trades because it drive you crazy. You guys should do that. You guys, when I have a record on the charts, I buy the trade. Each week I'm flipping through, my fingers going crazy. I'm trying to find this record. If it doesn't move a notch, I'm going nuts. So I stop buying the trades. You know, so I think I go back to thinking about the music. It doesn't matter what it hits. It's a matter that I fell in love with it and I did it the best I could. I go in the basement of my house now and I hear my daughters playing my records. And then I hear them pulling out old albums of Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett and guys like that. And I see in the new talent that's coming out that all the toys, we've had them all about now. We've had all the synth drums and the this drum and the that drum and this sound and that sound. So it has to more or less make this full turnaround and come back to soul music, come back to a feeling situation. And there are a lot of artists that's doing it now.